You are listening to Punk News Podcast episode 550.5, the bonus episode on a record store day, part two. Let's talk about records. With Sam Barrett, probably the other editor of Punk News that rivals my own love and obsessiveness towards records. Sam, are you and I the heaviest duties record collectors at Punk News, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Well, who's heavy duty than us?
Yes. Me?
Well, who?
I don't know. Like I feel like there's other people that have bigger like collections than I do. You definitely have a lot more than I do. But then again, I have two incomes to spend money on, so it's quite nice, you know.
Who's got a bigger collection than you do?
I don't, like, maybe Greg? Would Greg likes a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. We should go check out Hallie Bullitt's collection sometime. I think she's got a ton of stuff, too. But also, speaking of heavy-duty record collectors, we are also here with Tricky Ricky Frankel, back for revenge to talk about Record Store Day Part 2. Tricky Ricky, thanks for being on the show yet again.
Hell yeah, guys. Great to be back. I actually have a better Record Store Day story this time around, so I'm here to make up for last time.
Well, I've got a crazy Record Store Day adventure myself, but let's just briefly talk about Record Store Day drop number two, and then I guess we'll get into specifics. So this year they had two Record Store Day drops. I hate that word, like, oh, it's a Record Store Day drop. It's like, no, it's a record store. I hate how, like, certain words become commodified. It's like, you know, get ready, everybody. You know, Bad Cop is about to drop their new record. It's like, no, they're releasing their new record. Why are we saying drop? You know, it's Record Store Day drop. No, it's Record Store Day. You're selling records at the store. Where's the drop? I just hate the use of unnecessary use of buzzwords, if you will. That's a minor and picky complaint, I realize. But anyways, so this year we had two Record Store Days plus the upcoming Black Friday. Last year we had three. Time is all out of whack, not counting the most recent Record Store Day drop. When was the Record Store Day before that? Was that Thanksgiving?
Black Friday Record Store Day, I guess.
Okay, no? Yeah. So talking to the people in line this time, it definitely seems like people are kind of exhausted on Record Store Day and so many of them, and it seems like most people like two per year. Sam and Ricky, did you guys feel that way, or do you like them all split up now? Because I know that Record Store Day, the organization, is musing on the idea of maybe doing two or three or four every year. I know they're considering that idea, or even once per month or once every other month. That's the rumor.
This is exhausting. Just you explaining it is exhausting.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I really don't like this list, splitting the list up into 2 days at all. I mean, I can deal with, I never really participated in Black Friday Record Store Day. I mean, there's almost nothing I ever wanted, and maybe sometimes. But I mean, last month, like I said on the last episode that I was on, there was only one thing that I wanted, and it wasn't even worth like standing in line for that. Today, this month, there were only three three that I wanted, which is that's worth standing in line for. I'm going to be exhausted, and it's going to take away from the money that I spend on new releases too. Like every 4 months, whatever. Like, this is the most I will do. I can't do it any more than this. I loved it in April and November, so I would much rather just go back to that, because splitting up the list, it's too much for me to get up, you know, and go to a store at an ungodly hour and wait for an ungodly amount of time. So I'd hope they just go back to April and November, because even this was pushing it.
Sammy B, concur or disagree?
Oh, I agree 100,000,000%. This is too much. Like, waking up too early, like doing therapy in a car. That's what I was doing while I was waiting online. It's just too much work, just to get one or two things. If they just went back to the old model, I would be way happier. If they wanted to continue this, I honestly don't even understand how many titles that they can repress to make us come out. Like, do we really need, like, more Kenny Rogers, like, LPs for no apparent reason?
Yeah, Grateful Dead albums? Like, no. An amazing amount of, like, movie soundtracks too. Like, why do I need the Wizard of Oz Record Store Day edition, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. And plus, like, I felt like these drops, right? Like, a lot of them were like, oh yeah, they're first presses on Record Store Day. So really, they're gonna be pressing more of them. So I'm like, why the hell am I waiting online for a first pressing of something when there's gonna be more? Like, it's like, the novelty of Record Store Day is that, you know, there's only one pressing, maybe, on Record Store Day, and that's what makes me get up in the morning and do my wife duties and bring my husband coffee while waiting for a Record Store Day, because that's in my vows.
And at the same time, you know, the pressing, like, the amount of copies of each thing is of each item has been going up a lot. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about what we got, but I mean, two out of the three that I wanted were above 3,000. There was, I think, the Ramones live album was like around 6,000.
Yeah.
And At that point, it's like, this isn't even, like, the novelty is starting to wear off. The magic is starting to wear off, just between the multiple days and too many, and these releases not being really as exclusive as they were in the past. And this, and I'm saying this to someone who's been doing this since 2013.
Yeah, like, it's not as, if they continue to do magical drops, right, it's not going to be as magical to, I guess, me, at least, maybe no. You, anymore, like, you know, making this a thing. Like, I felt like it was holiday, like, it was a holiday for me, waking up early and walking to a record store or driving to a record store and sitting there for a couple hours waiting for it to, like, open, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be magical anymore. They're taking the fun out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you. I would argue that because there was two or three or four record store days, depending on how you count, that there actually were more items released, but also it seems like there were less, like, truly, wow, I have to – I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff that came out this year, but there wasn't anything like, oh, my God, I absolutely have to have that. But, I mean, frankly, it's like – I don't want to spend 3 or 4 days a year getting up super early and waiting in line when I could be doing other things. Two days, yes. You know, that's cool. Record store day, Black Friday. To me, it's the exact same thing, just different days. But 3 days, 4 days, you know, I don't think that's going to work out in the long run. But maybe record store day knows better than we do. At any rate, I thought there was some cool stuff this year. Sam Barrett, was there cool stuff this year? I mean, not this year. This record store day drop number two. Was there cool stuff? And did you have any adventures waiting in line or anything like that getting your records?
Well, there was, like, I really went to record store day for one thing. And it was a silly soundtrack. Yes, I did. But I did get other things because I was there. Why not? Right. So I really went there for the Eternal Sunshine, soundtrack. Eternal Sunshine is one of my favorite movies, so I made sure I got it. I think that was, like, 2,500, which is a pretty low number considering, like, you know, a movie that's well-known and, you know, dispersed amongst this country, I guess, right? So I did pick that up. I kind of had no intentions of getting the next album I got, but I got it anyways. I don't know why. So the Foo Fighters made a
I heard about this.
A Bee Gees.
I can't believe you got this.
Sam, don't ever talk to me ever again.
Sam, well, what are you doing?
I have no idea. I like saw it and I was like, ooh, sparkly.
Oh
my
God.
Like, why not? But I did check out the one song that they released off of it, and I was like, oh my God, this isn't bad. Maybe I'm brainwashed. I don't know. But now I have it. So it's somewhere in the house. We did end up getting the Ramones LP thing, whatever that is. My husband wanted that, so we got that. And the Lillingtons, we got that. It was actually funny because we're waiting in line, and we're always waiting in line in front of Generation Records in New York City, and every single time, for some strange reason, a rando will walk up to somehow me and my husband and ask us what we're waiting in line for.
Oh my God, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's always us. I have no idea. Is, like, my resting bitch face, like, not good enough that people think they could talk to me or something? But anyways, so I'm, like, standing there, and my husband's, like, records, and I immediately say iPhone, and then the guy literally goes, oh, is this, like, some special drop for iPhone? And I was like, yeah. And the guy was, like, dead, like, serious, and I'm like, he looks at the record store, too, like, clearly, we're standing in front of a record store. I don't know. It might have been a very catty, bitchy thing to do at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning, but but I was like, literally, this is, like, I've had it with that question, because it's every single time I'm at record store day, someone's asking me, what am I waiting in line for? I did notice that this time around, there was way less people online with us. Last month, there was like a line almost down the block. This time it was really like maybe 15 people online. So I don't know if it has anything to do with the titles that they had, or just the drop itself, or maybe people are just cranky and don't want to wake up in the morning and rather go later and hoping that there's still stuff. I don't know. I did notice that, but we were kind of like in and out, and then I would have to say I didn't go as crazy because I think last time we went to like 3 record stores. This time we just made a pit stop at our friends at Limited to One, and I found Eradicator 10-inch there, so I picked that up. That seems fun. My husband was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "People, punk, wearing mask, fun."
Oh yeah, like, you said the Eradicator?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, great band.
Yeah, exactly. A Ricky Frankel discovery, if you will.
Yes, yes. I did pick up the 10-inch, so I'm very happy to have that in my house right now.
Very nice.
Yeah, but that's it. I didn't go crazy. I actually got croissants afterwards, and I was very happy with that.
Sam, you had some kind of record with your dog's face on it or something?
Oh.
What was that?
Really cool. I can't believe you did that. Ugh.
This was something that happened one morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I saw something come up on my Instagram and I immediately bought it. I didn't even ask or cared how much it was. So the Dirty Nil, they had an album come out this year called Fuck Art. And pretty much what they did is they ran, like a one-time pressing. Well, it's not even pressing. It's just like black copies of their vinyl. But what they did was they had, because there's a dog on the cover, they asked people to submit their pets, and you could purchase a one-of-a-kind, limited to one, cover that is done by an artist where they would go and Photoshop your pet onto this cover. And they would produce it and send it to your house. So the great thing is I got it today. My husband asked me to check the mail midday. So I went outside and because this was like months ago that I ordered this thing. And I've kind of been waiting on it for like what feels like forever. And I did know that there was like a delay with these things. So I knew it was not coming in anytime soon, but I did get like a notification that something was coming soon, like yesterday. And I was like, nah, it should not come to me like in a day from Canada, because you know Canada. So I didn't expect it to come today, but it came today. And I was literally crying, bawling, and squealing. It woke up the dog. It was so good. Like, my husband was going to buy this thing for me for a present, but I beat him to it because the internet told me that I had to do this for myself and ruin a present for him. But he did pick out the photo because I have a million dog photos on my phone because I'm one of those doggy moms. Yeah, so it is one of a kind. I have this like little certificate of like with my dog's name on it. And the fact that essentially the package was like 60 something US dollars. I think it was like 90 Canadian or something like that. And $10 of that went to a rescue. So I made a donation to a rescue to help other dogs.
That's so cool. That
is a really cool idea. Yeah, and I said that's pretty reasonable for like a one of a kind record they make especially for you, including Photoshop alteration. Like that's actually like pretty crazy. That's cool.
Yeah, it's it instantly went on a frame and it's hanging right by my records. So all I have to do from the couch is pivot my head to the records or the dog. Like, anywhere I could see my dog.
That's pretty cool.
I got to tell you, the album's really good, but the band's marketing of this album was spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
They did this. They had a bunch of, like, famous people listen to their single and then and like do a video for them on Cameo, and then they posted the Cameo videos like all over the internet. The music videos, of course, were also really good, but like they really did some interesting stuff to push this album a lot. Like, and Dynalone was, I guess, really cool with it. So
yeah, well, just the band, cool that you did. Just the band in general, they're just fun. Luke was doing these tone tips on the Instagram,
yeah.
And literally it was like him like smashing guitars or doing ridiculous things, and I'm like, my husband was lapping it up because he was like, oh my god, look how cool this is, right? And I'm just like, oh my god, what are they doing? Like, they are very, very good at marketing themselves and marketing everything, and I'm just like really glad. Like, I again, like, I didn't even bat an eye. I like literally texted my husband midday and told him I did something stupid, and my husband was like, oh, that's not stupid, because I was going to actually do that for you anyways. And I was like, because I was like mentally checking myself, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm paying this much money for like something like this. But I was like, again, I was like, I'm all okay with marketing my dog on other people's stuff. So, hey, out there, if anyone's listening, please put my dog on your album cover. I would buy it.
Well, there you have it. If you want to say something to Sam, put a dog on anything. Sam, why don't you play a track and we'll come back and we'll hear Ricky's Record Store Day story adventure.
Yeah, so... I was actually going to play Dirty Nil today because I got this glorious picture now in my house. So I'm going to play Doom Boy, which is off of Dirty Nil's latest, which is called Fuck Art.
The Chrome Max Anson style.
And that was the Dirty Nail, Tricky Ricky. Your earlier Record Store Day adventure was a bit more subdued. Did you go wild on drop number two?
I did, but it was a little bit unorthodox for what I was going to do. I was really kind of going back and forth about whether I wanted to make the drive out to Hollywood to stand in line at like 11 p.m. at Amoeba. I just wasn't feeling it. And also I think the novelty of the new store location was going to bring a lot more people there. And I'm like, I only have three things that I want. I don't want to sit out there and not get anything for that. If I sit out there for that long. So, I messaged a friend of mine who, went to a place called Freak Beat Records, which is, an easier drive for me. And, and he said, yeah, people were getting there at like, when he would go, people were there at like 1:30 or 2 in the morning. I'm like, well, that's at least better than 11:10:30 PM. Right. So I call them up. I'm like, hey, do you have these three records? They say, yeah, we should have a few of each. So I originally wanted, I mean, my full list was, I wanted the Fear, the record. I wanted the Cro-Mags, the Age of Quarrel, the Lillingtons, I forgot the name of the Back Channel Broadcast reissue, and the Weird Al 3-inch, and maybe the Ramones live record. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to Freak Beat. It's a smaller store, but you know what, if I get there really early, it won't be earlier, it'll be better than going to Amoeba and being at Amoeba for that long. So I don't know what happened, but I managed to fall asleep the night before at like 10 p.m. and I had an alarm set for 2:15. So I got like 3 or 4 hours of sleep, which for Record Store Day is awesome. then I made it to Freak Beat around 2:30-ish, and I get there, no one's there. I go, oh hell yeah. So I got a great parking spot in front of the store. I laid my car seat, my driver's seat, back all the way just to relax, because it was still sketchy as hell out there. Remember, I'm in Los Angeles. So what I did was I locked my doors, I opened one of the windows slightly just to get air. And like for 3.5-4 hours, I just listened to podcasts and just kind of dozed in and out. Then when the sun came up around 6, that's when I got my chair and like set up
there's no one there at 6 o'clock.
No, there wasn't.
So you were number one.
I was number one. Yeah.
Oh geez.
And so, but it was interesting because I was looking at their Instagram. They're like, oh yeah, people were here super early around like 6 a.m. I'm like, that's late for Record Store Day, at least in the bigger cities.
Yeah.
And so I set up. I was there just waiting. And then other people started showing up. Like a 6:15. And then like the line really started kind of getting longer and towards like 7:30 and 8. They opened, their employees got there around like 9, and then they started, instead of like taking a menu or like a list of everything, a checklist of everything you want like at Amoeba, like Amoeba does, they took just handwritten lists, and then they just made a bag for you, and if you got the stuff, you got the stuff. If you didn't, that's it. And you also had to rank what you wanted most. So I just put Fear, then the Cro-Mags, because I already have a copy of it, and then the Lillingtons, because like that was it. And no one had the Weird Al 3-inch. Like no one did. I at least Amoeba didn't, and I don't even think that Freak Beat did. And I just decided to let the Ramones live record go. I didn't. I kind of was indifferent to it by then. So I get there, and I've seen and then like when the store actually opens, I look down the line. There can't be more than 40 people. I'm like, what's going on? So, and it was mostly old, like a lot older people, like people like over 40. or even maybe over 45. Like, I was probably the youngest one there, except for a couple of guys who showed up wearing like a Gorilla Biscuits t-shirt. I'm like, oh, I know which one he wants. So I was glad I got there early. So they take my list around 9:30. They start bagging stuff. Then around a little before 10, they have me have like the first set of people come inside. And they said, hey, yeah, we only had a couple of each of what you wanted, but we got it. And I look inside the bag and it's just the Fear and Cro-Mags records, which honestly, totally fine. Very grateful. Those are the top, my top two. Then I asked about the Lillington's record, and it turns out they didn't even get any copies of it. So because there were only like 600 and change of that one, I think, right?
Yeah, it was a very low number.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, fine, I can deal with that, whatever, no big deal. Then I walked out, and that was it. It was a cheap record store day. The most I've ever gotten on record store day is like 5 items. But that was when I was getting paid to write about Record Store Day from another outlet. So I'm like, I'll splurge. Then I made it back. I actually went to my parents' house, and because we were having a family dinner later that day anyway. So I get back, and then I just go into their guest room, and I just completely collapse for like an hour, and just sleep and just nap for the rest of Sunday. What's cool about what Red Scare does for these, their Record Store Day releases, is if the store doesn't have the release that they put out, or you weren't able to get it, they managed to put some copies on their online store, like the following day or the following Monday. So, I managed to score the Lillington's release. I'm just waiting for it. And I picked up the, since I was getting stuff from Red Scare, I picked up the NMEU covers, record that they put out earlier this year too. So, overall, very successful record store day. I have no complaints. I don't know if I'm going to do Amoeba again next year or if I'm going to do Freakbeat next year, but I got to tell you, I'm pretty happy with how it went. And I just think that the Amoeba, the new location of Amoeba, like that needs to just kind of die down in popularity a little bit. And then maybe I'll go back, especially depending on what Record Store Day does next year. We'll see. But overall, yeah, successful. No complaints.
Ricky, why don't you play a tune and then we'll come back and we'll talk about my Record Store Day battles.
Sure. Oh, one thing, just two things to add to the story. Before I went to check out Record Store around 8 p.m. that day just to see like if anyone was lining up then. No one was. So I figured it was cool to go at at a late hour at 2:30. And then the other thing was it was really funny. They said on Instagram, like, hey, thanks for everyone who came out to us for Record Store Day, including the guy that got there at 2:30. So I did get a small, like, embarrassing shout out by them. So you can go check that out on their Instagram. It's a cool little store. So I will play a song from one of the albums that I got from Record Store Day. I got the Fear record. I'm very happy with it. It also came with a Christmas 7-inch that was red, which was pretty cool.
How's the Fear record sound?
I think it sounds great. I gave it a spin on Monday and yesterday, and it sounds really good. I don't know about the 7-inch yet. I haven't listened to it. But overall, they've repressed that album so many times. What's that website that keeps?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like Alien something or whatever? Or
something like that, yeah. And so I just thought, like, if I'm going to get this record finally, because it's been on my list forever, I might as well get the cool Record Store Day version. Though I did see a first pressing at Amoeba for, like, $100, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But this is what Record Store Day really shines at. So this one in particular. So... I'm going to play the song Give me some action from Fear the Record. Here it is.
Was Fear, famously leaving Philadelphia folk singer that decided to become a punk rocker.
A band that we never really talked too much about on the podcast, from what I remember.
Yeah, true, and that's because the first record kicks ass, and every record after that is meh. You know, like, although I did see Fear, the original Fear, at Punk Rock Bowling, and they were awesome. But the thing with Fear is they got one totally kick-ass, totally first-wave punk record. It's offensive. It's got banging tracks. It sounds great. But then after that, he kind of went a little country, a little folk, kind of back to his pre-Fear days. And they never really recaptured that explosive, I guess, offensive, but cleverly offensive style music. You know, when Lee Ving is saying certain things, he's doing it to get a rise and make a point out of it. And you get the impression he doesn't actually mean what he's saying. He's kind of doing it to be funny or cute or to, you know, explore, I guess, the sphere of art, if you will, or whatever. Anyways, I had a pretty crazy record.
So, John, you like offensive. You like all of the offensive.
What's that?
So you like all of the offensive.
No, I like something that's offensive. I don't like something offensive just to be offensive. Like, I don't like G.G. Allin. I think G.G. Allin's stupid. there's lots of other bands that are just offensive just to be offensive. If you guys can name one, I will. You know, Gwar is often offensive, but they're offensive to make a point. So if there's some kind of intelligence behind the offensiveness, I love that, because then usually they're not being offensive. They're not like there's that famous Gwar song, which was too much for most people. Have you seen me? You know, Gwar isn't actually saying child abduction is good. They're kind of making a point and seeing how extreme they can be. You know what I mean? Same with Carnivore, Peter Still's pre-typo negative band, you know. Another great example is I love SOD. SOD obviously is being ironic and satirical and not genuine, and that's why they're funny and cool. But MOD, the SOD spinoff band, was just offensiveness for the sake of offensiveness often, and it was kind of a bummer, and it's not as funny, it's not as clever, and it doesn't stimulate the same conversation. So that's my response to that, Sam Barrett. So listen, man, I had actually a pretty – maybe my craziest record store day yet with regards to one particular item. As I talked about before on – I guess maybe it was like last year, I had somewhat of a quagmire on – yes, right. It was last year's record store day. The Rolling Stones were releasing this very rare version of Let It Bleed. And so for literally like 4 months, once a week, I was going to this record store and I was like, oh man, yeah, that looks real cool, man. And he's like, well, we're not getting that many. I'm like, yeah, man, whoever gets that sure is one lucky guy. I'll tell you, that'd be cool to get, you know? And the guy's like, well, there's not that many, you know, but I'll have a few. I'm like, well, who knows, you know? And I was like, oh man, he's definitely going to slip me one, because I go like every week, you know? And of course I didn't get slipped one at all. And I ended up just buying overpriced CDs that weren't even part of record store day. And so I was a bit bitter towards my local record store. But I still go there because, I mean, despite that, the guy's a nice guy. And he's just trying to make ends meet. And maybe it is good that he doesn't play favorites. You know, like maybe that is cool, you know. So for some reason, I still felt somewhat of a requirement to go to his – well, actually, he does YouTube videos, and he talks about stuff. And he says, if you want something, email me, and I'll order them, and then hopefully you'll get one. Basically, he wants people to email him so he knows what people are looking for, and then he bases what he's getting in his store off that. So I email him, and he's like, oh, that's a lot of great stuff. And so I felt bad if I didn't go there, and I'll tell you why I didn't want to go. I hypothetically didn't want to go there. Well, actually – so anyways, Meanwhile, Joe Jack Tackham and the Dead Milkmen was putting out a extremely limited 3-inch record. It's called Record Store Day, and they only made 45 copies. And you could only buy it in two record stores, Siren Records and Main Street Records in Manny Young, Philadelphia. And so I'm like, well, you know, that's the thing I want the most. Everything else I'll probably be able to get on Discogs. But this super rare Joe Jack Tackham record, I'm not going to be able to get that anywhere, you know. So maybe I'll just blow off my normal record store and I'll go to one of these other record stores, you know. But I'm like, man, I feel bad. I talked to this dude. He's a good guy. He's trying to make ends meet. You know, if I blow him – like I feel like he's expecting me to be there and he'll be sad that I'm not, which I realize is perverse. Because there's like 300 people there, you know, I think I'm getting played, but I'm not sure. Like maybe the guy really does like to see me there and say, John, thanks for supporting the store. Or maybe he's just saying that because he's trying to get as much money out of me as he can. I don't know. But I felt guilty by not going. And so I'm like, well, maybe I should blow him off and go to one of the Joe Jack Tackham stores, or maybe I should just, you know, risk it and I don't know, man. And so anyways, I decided to go to my local record store and not go to the two stores that had the Joe Jack Tackham record because, as I learned, both of those stores, you had to, like, register online weeks before and you get a spot in line. So I'm like, well, there's no way I'm getting it because there's going to be 100 people in front of me. So it's just a lost cause, man. What can I do, you know? So I went to my local record store, and honestly, luckily, I did get a lot of really cool stuff, man. I got the Cro-Mags record, which I'm very torn about. I've got a Cro-Mag. I don't even know – this is how much of a sucker I'm. I don't even know why I bought the Cro-Mags record. I bought it because it's an interesting artifact because Harley is battling with the record label to get the record back. I've got an original Cro-Mags Age of Quarrel. I've got the uncensored one, the most rare one. I don't need another one. I actually just sold a repress not that long ago because I'm like, what do I need this repress for? I never listened to it. I've got four different CD versions of the album and the original Age of Quarrel press. Why do I need this 2010 repress? So I sold that. But I bought this new one anyway just because it's such an artifact. I don't even know what I'm going to do with it, but it is kind of interesting to have.
Have you listened to it?
No.
You can't help yourself, John.
I mean, the fact that it even came out at all this year for Record Store Day is crazy. My prediction last time on the podcast was like, oh, we'll get it for Black Friday Record Store Day. Then I start seeing like Sorry State has it, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening anymore. It was complete mayhem.
I should listen to it because I wondered, did they rip the CD version? Did they take the master tapes and punch them up? Or, you know, I have a feeling it's just a CD rip, and I have a feeling it probably isn't going to sound that good. But I'll have to listen, you know. Right. It is funny how, but like before it came out, people were spending $100, $150 to get it. Now you can get it on Discogs for like $35, which just goes to show almost anything that comes out on Record Store Day, you can get on Discogs. So it's really not that big of a deal. The farther sucker, I did in fact buy the Clash's If Music Could Talk, which is literally just an interview disc with some songs from Sandinista played between the interview. Why did I buy this? I don't know. I'm a sucker. I really am a sucker, you know. I mean, I love the Clash. They're one of my favorite bands. So I'm like, I got to have every Clash item. Here's a Clash item. But I've got all the songs, and it's an okay interview with the members of the Clash you could hear on YouTube. So I'm a sucker, you know.
John, you're breaking my heart here.
Here's how more of a sucker I am. I bought the Hawkwind Greasy Truckers Party. Actually, I'm not a sucker on this one. Here's why. I almost didn't buy the Hawkwind. So Hawkwind released a record called Greasy Truckers Party, which technically has been released before in a limited CD version, which is pretty hard to get. But that also had other bands on it. This is just the Hawkwind recording. And I got – and honestly, it was only $34, which in 2021, $34 for a double record is reasonable. It used to be $18 for a record, $22 for a double, but that's – you know, that's 2005 prices. You know, now $32, $35 for a double LP, maybe a little pricey, but not insane. So I got the Hawkwind thing. It sounds – what was cool about that is even though it's the same era as their famous not Sonic Assault. What's the famous Hawkwind live record? Sonic – damn it. Crap, I can't remember. It's like one of the famous live albums
just
of all time.
Check, yeah, just check your Discogs. It's there.
I'm embarrassed I can't think of it. Nick Turner even had a band name off the live album. It's not Space Odyssey. What the hell is the name of that? Anyways, so anyway, it's the same era as their most famous album, their most famous live album, but luckily and coolly, it's actually totally, like, even though it's the same songs, it's totally different renditions of those songs, and it sounds great. My copy, Space Ritual, is the famous live album. My copy, though, the first record skipped, like, it's got, like, a pop in it the whole way. I wonder if everybody has that problem, or if I just got a defective one, which is kind of a bummer. Same thing with the Ramones record. The Ramones record is cool, not amazing. The Ramones record was touted as, you know, a bunch of rare Ramones songs you've never heard before, live. Well, it's got like four live songs you've never heard live before and like 18 that you have, you know, and it's cool. I mean, it definitely is the best live record with Markey on drums. And it is cool to have a live record from the end of the century era, which really we didn't really have a good Markey. I mean, we didn't have a classic sounding Markey era live record. We had Loco Live, which that might even be not Markey. That might even be not Richie. Richie. And then there was also We're Out of Here, which is Markey on drums, but both those records are like Ramones played super fast and not in the classic style. So it is cool to have this record in the classic style. And usually I'm annoyed that record store day will needlessly take a single record and make it a double record to increase the price. This is a single record. I wish they made it a double record because it's brand new. The grooves are so tight. It actually kind of skips, which is annoying. I've only played it twice and it skipped both times. Hopefully that'll get kind of buffed out, but we'll see. But the record is pretty cool, not amazing. Honestly, any official Live Ramones record is great. I'm happy. It's cool. I just kind of wish they did, you know, made it a double LP. The Beastie Boys record I got is very cool. Of course, I already have two CD versions of this. I've got the original 12-inch pressing. I've got the original double 7-inch pressing. That being said, it is a very nice presentation of this classic punk album because it's got both the rare bonus tracks, Sober Violence and Light My Fire. It sounds great. My only criticism, I guess, is the whole album is like 11 minutes long. I think they should have put it all on one side or at least made it a 45-speed record. That being said, it's the best version of Aglio E Olio to date. So if you don't have that record, this is a killer version. Another neat thing came out that I got was it's called the Bob Dylan Joker Man and I Remix EP. And what it is, it's Bob Dylan has an album from 1981, I think, called Infidels. And the big thing about that record is it was Bob Dylan with Sly and Robbie, reggae legends, playing on a couple of tracks, and he did some reggae influenced things. This record isn't what it purports to be. This record purports to be reggae remixes with Sly and Robbie of the two reggae tracks off Infidels, Joker Man and I. That's not what it is. About 10 years ago, a compilation CD came out called It's Rolling Bob, and they had a whole bunch of artists, Jamaican artists, like Michael Rose of Black Uhuru, Sly and Robbie, Gregory Isaacs maybe, a whole bunch of reggae legends do new version of Bob Dylan recordings. The bonus track of that CD from like 2005 was a reggae remix of Joker Man. So it's basically the original one from 1980 remixed in like 2005 or whatever. What this EP is, it's the remix from that CD of Joker Man plus the dub version extended out from making it a disco mix. So the normal version flows into the dub version, which was on the Rolling Bob dub CD. So it's really just a re-release of the tracks from that CD with I, which had long since been shelved. Despite the fact that its provenance is not what they kind of wanted to be, and really it's just a reproduction of CD release tracks with Joker Man mixed into the dub version of it and I mixed into the dub version of it. It's extremely cool because it's basically like a Jamaican disco mix record, and that is two songs, both which are in disco mix style, which means it's the original song that flows into the dub version. So both sides are like 15 minutes. So if you want to hear a 15-minute version of Joker Man or 15-minute version of I, it sounds amazing. It sounds really, really good, and it's cool. And Ricky, you will appreciate this. Here's the lineup on this record. Bob Dylan, Mick Taylor of the Rolling Stones, Alan Clark, Robbie Shakespeare, and Sly of Sly and Robbie, Sammy Ferguson on percussion, and Mark Knopfler on guitar.
Oh, that's an interesting lineup.
And it sounds great. Two last quick things. I got the Selector Live record, which is really just a vinyl version of the CD that just was re-released. It's the Selector I think it's a BBC session, even though they called it live in Coventry. I'm almost sure it was recorded for a BBC session. It sounds cool. Actually, it's very good. It's Selector live, and honestly, if you ask me, they are better renditions of the songs than the record version. Two last things is people like Sam was talking about how the guy's like, oh, like what's coming out, and like Sam's like it's iPhone day or whatever. Like on my Instagram, I had a picture of a Sex Pistols CD, and everyone's like, what is that? I'm like, it's a bootleg Sex Pistols CD it's a Chinese bootleg that's trying to look like a Japanese press, but it's a Chinese bootleg. And I had several people ask me, was that part of Record Store Day? And I wanted to be like, yes, a Chinese bootleg CD is part of the official Record Store Day. I'm like, no, I went to the used bin. Have you never heard of the used bin? And maybe I'm being a prick for being so like annoyed by this, but I'm like, they have used bins at record, like you can buy other records at Record Store Day than just the Record Store Day stuff. Last thing, so here's my Record Store Day miracle. So I went to my local record store instead of Main Street Music in Manayunk, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna get the Joe Jack record. So I was out of my local record store by about 9 o'clock. I'm like, well, man, I'll just drive on down to Main Street Music, and maybe people won't know that Joe Jack Talcum record is there. Maybe no one will care. Even the Dead Milkmen are the biggest punk band from Philly by far. And like, well, maybe it'll be there. So I drive on down to Main Street Music, and of course the line, even when I get there, the line is out the door, and the person working the door, she's coming out, she's like, number 24, number 25. I wrote to all these people about reservations. I'm like, man, there's no way I'm getting anything. And so there's about three people in front of me, and I hear another dude working there. He's like, yeah, man, we can't find that box of Dead Milkmen stuff. And I'm like, you don't say, you know. And so eventually they call the numbers, and the lady's like, and the weird thing was is like, even though I got there like 9:45, there was no one behind me. Like everyone was in front of me, and not a single person came after me. And they're like, well, what are you here for? I'm like, I'm here for Record Store Day. They're like, you have reservations? I'm like, no. They're like, oh, all right, well, you can come on in. So I go on in, and no Joe Jack Talcum records. I'm like, well, whatever. And then when I'm walking around the counter to the backside, this dude comes out and dumps out the Joe Jack Talcum 3 inches. And I'm like, yo, can I have one? He's like, here you go. And I'm like, whoa. So the crazy thing, this is an extremely limited – there's only 45 of them in existence. If I had played by the rules, or if I had had better planning and got there early, I wouldn't have been able to get it, because I would have assumed it had already sold out because it wasn't there. By getting there later, I got one simply due to the fact that the record store misplaced it and put it out at the exact moment I got there late. How crazy is that?
Jeez, man. That's amazing. But by the way, I had like four people during my wait ask me what I was waiting for. It was by like the fourth or fifth person, I was like getting snippy with people. I think I just said Record Store Day.
Actually,
in that tone.
Here's a question, Sam and Ricky. Like the local record store I go to, it's mostly like dad rock guys or guys that are into dad. Oh. While I was sitting in line, there was this totally douchey kid. This kid was like 23, and he's like every other sentence, he's like, I tell my girlfriend to do this, but she doesn't do this. I tell my girlfriend to plan for the future financially, but she doesn't care. And yes, you should. I'm like, oh my god, this dude's 23. He's acting like he's 57. Like he's got all the answers. I'm like, I don't want to strangle this kid, you know. But I'm playing it cool because I don't want to get arrested at Record Store Day. You know? I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. You know, women. You know, women. They be shopping. You know.
Wait, so he was online talking to you about this?
Yeah, well, so to the right of me were like dad record collectors, and honestly, that's fine. Like, I'll talk about Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones with them till the cows come home. You know what I mean? But to the left, I was talking to the guy to the left, and like he was just the douchiest. I mean, not the douchiest, but he was close. You know, he's like he kept like dogging on his girlfriend. He's like, yeah, after this, I gotta go to my girlfriend's parents for dinner. I'm like, I'm thinking, if you hate this girl so much, why are you going out with her? You know, it's like, I don't know if he was trying to impress me. I don't know why anyone's trying to impress me. But, like, he's like, yeah, man, my girlfriend, like, she never wants to go to record stores. Or she never, like, yeah, like, I went to see Taylor Swift with my girlfriend, you know. She wouldn't go see Ween. The reason why I would talk, because he mentioned Ween, and I like Ween a lot. And she's like, my girlfriend, I want to take my girlfriend to Ween, but she doesn't appreciate Ween. She only wants to go to Taylor Swift. Yeah, I tell her to plan financially for the future, and she does. I'm like, oh my God, this dude's the worst. This dude mentioned, he's like, yeah, man, last record store day was, he didn't say like this, but he's like, last record store was really cool. I got that Rolling Stones record. It's got Monkey Man on it. What's that album? I'm thinking, this dude got the super rare Rolling Stone record that I wanted. That he doesn't even know the name of the record that never does only comes out to the record store day only comes out to the record store for the record store day, and the guy could have given me you know a little help here, but he did not, and said this little douche got that record that I wanted. But honestly, it came back around again, because if I could only get the Rolling Stone record or the Joe Jack Talcum record, I'm taking the Joe Jack Talcum record because it's exclusive. Sam, what was your question?
I don't even understand why you didn't have a resting bitch face on to not talk to him.
honestly, because I'm there for 4 hours, and I'm just trying to hang out and talk to, you know, I'm trying to kill 4 hours, you know what I mean? Well, 3 hours, really, you know?
You're too nice.
And honestly, it's like rare, like when you start talking to somebody, like the first thing they say isn't usually something really asshole-ish, and if it is, then you just stop talking to them, you know? Like, you're like, hey, man, what are you here for? And the guy's like, I don't know. The guy's like, I hate Puerto Ricans. And you're like, what? And you're like, all right, well, I'm not talking to this guy. But if you say to the guy, hey, man, what's happening? And he's like, oh, man, I'm super psyched for Record Store Day. And you start talking about Record Store Day. And then halfway through the conversation, he's like, I hate Puerto Ricans. You're like, oh. You got to back out of the conversation. But, like, you don't want to be like, well, screw you, man. I'm going to fight you right here. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just trying to get a Clash record that I don't even want, man. Like, I'm not looking for a hassle. I'm trying to give Joe Strummer $40. You know, man? Like,
record collectors and record store day in general bring out the weird people. Like, there's some – I remember being in line next to some really creepy people. Yeah. Not, like, murderous people, but, like, they haven't been out of their basement in several months.
Yeah.
Type of people. Yeah, like, it's – and some people are really cool, but, like, a good majority of them, there's something off socially.
See, that is probably true at Amoeba, and that is definitely true at record conventions. I go to the suburb dad record store, so for the most part, it's dads, which, like I said, I'm fine to talk with, you know, record dads, or yeah. Kind of like douchey college students that, like, want the Foo Fighters record, or, like, you know, the Grateful Dead record or the Fleetwood Mac record. You know, the basement dwellers are, like, 1, 2, and 3 in line, but I'm not getting there at midnight. You know what I mean? I'm getting there at 5 in the morning, you know? I guess last question, and then maybe we'll wrap it up unless somebody else guys want to talk about. When you're standing in line and someone says, well, what are you here for? Fair question or not fair question? And how do you respond?
Oh, I think it's totally fair. I really have no problem telling people that, especially, you know, at the Amoeba, when I would go to Amoeba, because I knew, like, Amoeba would always have, like, a ton of copies of each thing that I wanted for the most part. So I think it's fine. Just, that's a good way. I mean, you're there for the same reason. It's a nice way to strike up a conversation. It's kind of a basic way, but it's fine.
I don't like talking to people, so.
Yeah, I mean, depends if they're a creep or not, right?
Yeah, well, a lot. So most of the time, my husband would drop me off, so I would be online alone for a while because he would look for parking. I don't tend to like to talk to people because, and that's probably why I have a resting bitch face that doesn't work anymore. But, like, you know, because the record stores that I usually go to don't have tons of copies. The one place that I did used to go to that had a million copies of everything you would ever want now does not exist in New York because that's just how Manhattan is. There's everything is a fleeting moment these days. So, you know, usually when I go to Generation, they only have like one or two albums. Like, I remember being in line they had a Hot Water Music 7-inch, one of their, like, you know, like the Colored Live series. Mm-hmm. So the blue one, literally we were in line and we were like five people, like in, like almost there. And then they just go sold out. And we were like, fuck, we only went there for that.
Yeah.
And literally I was like crying, like leaving Generations. And everyone's like, what's wrong with you? All I have is records. Inaudible. Like, no one could understand what I was saying. But, like, yeah, like, I don't really like to say that because literally there's been a couple times where I've been online and I've been I'll talk to some people and then they're like, okay, you know what? I'll add that on my list too. And I'm like, oh, no! Good point. Yeah. Because then you're going to take the one I want. Yeah, because, like, Generation will probably get, like, maybe at most 10 copies. And, you know, if everyone grabs one, then if you're, like, 11th in line, you get nothing.
Yeah. John, what about you?
It's probably being overly paranoid, but, like, what I'll do is I'll mention the things that I kind of want but don't really care about, but not the things that I want the most. Because there's always the feel like the guy in front of you here will be like, oh, that must be the hot item. I'll get it because I want it, or I'll get it because I can flip it. Because where I go, like, 1, 2, and 3 in line are always flippers. You know, even though there's really not that much money in flipping Rec Store Day stuff anymore, you know, it's like, yeah. It's like, fellas, the flipping era for Rec Store Day was 2010, man. Like, you missed the boat, you know, but
– yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. That was crazy. Like, stuff would go for like $200, $300, but, you know, and now you can get it for $17.95 used. Anyways.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to say one thing. I don't know if this is a pattern with the Ramones, but you said that your Ramones live record skipped a little bit.
Yeah.
So remember a few years ago, there was that Record Store Day Ramones 7-inch box set?
Yes.
Okay, so I got it. Okay, and maybe like a few months later, I started reading about it on Discogs and stuff like that, and I saw like, oh, some, it turns out like a bunch of versions, like all, like every single 7-inch skips. So I'm like, well, that's weird. It was probably the most expensive thing I've ever bought at Record Store Day, so I put it on. Every single one skips.
Brutal.
And I don't know what to do with it. It's just collecting dust in my record shelf.
Sell.
I guess so. I don't know if it's a Ramones thing or what, but, like, I was not happy about that at all.
It be, like, a pressing defect? Because now, so with all these Record Store Days, there's only so many pressing plants, and they're pressing all of these things now, right? So, like, it's very much possible that they're pressing too much things.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was it, but, like, I mean, this was, I think that was like Record Store Day 2015 or 2016. I'm not sure which one, but
that's like, still the record bubble.
Oh yeah, it was just bad. That was just a bad one. So I don't know.
Here's to Record Store Day Black Friday. I guess we will reassemble then. Maybe. I mean, that's right around Thanksgiving holiday. So maybe we will. Maybe we won't. Hey, we probably will, because that's after Thanksgiving. Anyways, Ricky, as always, thanks for being on and talking about records. Ricky, what is a dream record that you would like to see come out for Record Store Day that actually could come out? A pristine sounding Clash record from 1977. Well, that doesn't exist. You know what I mean? But what's something that you would like to see come out for Record Store Day that could come out for Record Store Day?
I would like to see, and I don't think it's out of this might. I don't think it's far fetched, but it's probably not going to happen. I would like to see Morning Glories, The Whole World's Watching, and the Suicide singles on one disc or two in one release for Record Store Day. Those two have not been put on vinyl. It's slowly killing me, along with never actually seeing Morning Glory. It's all slowly killing me. Morning Glory, please get back together so I can at least see you again, at least see you once, because this is, it's just, I'm gonna have an aneurysm. I'm not gonna, I don't know what else to say. I'm gonna have a stroke.
Good answer, Ricky. I saw Morning Glory twice. The second time was phenomenal. Sam Barrett.
Excuse me.
Closing words? And what would you like to see come out for Record Store Day that hypothetically could come out?
Oh, geez. I don't even know where to begin, because, like, I don't even, like, have a list of, like, wishes and wants anymore that I can actually remember. So I'm just going to leave it as that. If not, it's probably going to be some really awful pop music from the aughts, the 2000s or something like that, that no one wants to hear on this podcast. So I'm going to leave that to myself. Yeah, no, like, it's probably going to be, like, Britney Spears on, like, bubblegum pink vinyl, like Baby One More Time. It's something awful.
They should
like
do
that.
A free Britney comp for Record Store Day.
A what?
A free Britney Record Store Day
compilation. Oh my god, that would be amazing. Actually, thanks, Ricky. Now I have something to put on the list. I'm really, really awful right now with music and everything. So I'm sorry, listeners. You have to deal with me. But closing words, don't be racist and buy records.
And I have the best answer. Danzig 1-4, all the Samhain records, all the Misfits singles. Glenn, let's put them out and make some money. Anyways, we'll see you real shortly. And Ricky, hopefully, will be back for the Record Store Day Black Friday episode. You can reach the podcast at punknews.org. And I will play a Beastie Boys track from their punk era from Aglio e Olio. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
There's something about the feel and the vibe. You're a selector and you've never played a 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. Well, I'm not saying that you should be playing the 7-inch 45 only. But if you are able, go buy a turntable. You can also get them with the USB. It's alright to play laptops, alright to play CDs. It's alright to play your MP3s, but don't leave out the vinyl, cause you can use them side by side with the modern technology. Lord, well, me not stupid and you know say me not tick. Me know say times change and you must move with it. 1,000 tunes on one memory stick, and you don't need no box, it can fit in your pocket. But if you never played a 45 before, why don't you try it? Borrow one from your friend if you not have money to buy it. You know it's got a vibe and you just can't deny it. Maccabee come to testify it. It's all about the 45. It's something about the feel and the vibe. So you're a DJ, you fi try and play a 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. You're a selector, you fi try and play a 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. Me I tell the people them it's all about the 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. Yo, yo, say 45, still I press on 45, still I make. You can buy them in the shop or get them on the internet. It could be up a couple 45 for select. And every reggae DJ is supposed to have a deck. You can't sweep your 45, them under the carpet. Some people say them dead, but them not dead yet. Man, I own 45 like them a private detect. I pay a big money and I write big check for the 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. Me I tell the people them to try and play a 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. Oh, you a DJ and you've never played a 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. You're a selector, you fi try and play a 45. There's something about the feel and the vibe. Yow, yow.